hop in this truck, aka Time Machine. 1990.
They're back.
It's sports all around the clock. Sports all the time.
Horrible. He's a horrible human being that shouldn't be in the league, is what I believe.
For one final season, live on Penguin Radio, this is the Tailgate.
But, I mean, look at me. Do I look like a cross-country runner to you? Playing against the top tier teams in the nation.
You sure it's not top?
Top.
Dude, I love Blake Griffin. I'm not a Clippers fan, but I love Blake Griffin.
The final season of The Tailgate with Brock Beal and Hunter Hornstein starts right now.
And here we go.
How's it? Welcome to the show. This is the best damn tailgate you're ever going to have. Hunter Hornstein alongside Brock Beal every Thursday night, 9 to 10 o'clock here on Penguin Radio. For those of you guys, if you're listening right now, you're probably listening to our podcast that we're going to post pretty soon after the conclusion of this show, and you'll get why we're doing this, because right now we're working out kinks on our end. We're trying to figure out why we aren't on the air. But we will figure it out. When we do, we'll be live action. For those of you guys who are listening to podcasts, though, this is what you missed. You just missed the intro here for us, and it's really nothing special. Really nothing special at all.
What you're saying is that it's not an exact science, is what you're saying.
Not at all.
People think that this is
no chance.
Very calculated, and it is not, ladies and gentlemen.
No it chance. It is not. No chance. Well, very well said, and kind of that. I like that. Not an exact science. You're putting us down, but not really. You're putting us down.
Well, we didn't do anything wrong. It's not our fault.
Look at us.
We're here on time. We're just sitting here. Computer doesn't work. That's not our. That's technology. That's not us. It's never our fault.
This is making me think that we should just do every show like this. It should all
just
be podcasts.
You guys don't need to listen live. Just listen to the podcast when you're driving or whatever. It's way more fun that way.
It really
we
is.
We say whatever we want now, really.
It really is.
It's dangerous.
We're not
it's
on the air dangerous. Right now. We are not on the air. We could say, and.
Ooh, give me one. I can say, and then a little bit of this, and a little bit. I like that. Look at us.
Welcome to the
living
show.
Living dangerously, ladies and gentlemen. That was all edited out. So you're going to get that like an hour later. That's just going to be blurred out. They won't even hear anything.
The greatest show that we've had, I think. It's
liberating.
Do you
what it
feel
is.
How like, you know how you feel there's that feeling of when we're live and we're going and you're like, hey, yeah, you know, you got that energy. You know people are listening. Now it's kind of like, oh, that poor guy at home is trying to log in and they're not listening to anything and they're freaking out. Our phones are probably going to start blowing up with text.
Yeah.
And we're here yabbing our mouths off and no one can hear
Nobody's hearing what we're talking about. But hey, that's irrelevant. All right. It's still going to be a great show. We're still going to get a great podcast viewing. We always do. All these people listening to the podcast. Before we start, we talked about this a little bit earlier. Big, huge, monster shout out to one of our all-time greatest fans, the Josh Smith and Linfield Football, taking on Pacific Lutheran in the first round of the Division III NCAA playoffs this Saturday. If you guys are in Oregon, the Oregon area is going to be at the Linfield campus in McMinnville, Oregon. Lovely McMinnville. Yeah, that's a place. If you're not from Oregon, you would never hear about it. But hey, hashtag Cat Dome. Good luck, Smitty. Go win a natty for the boys in Camas. Last shot at it. Huge props to him. We were talking about this, and then we kind of started rolling with it.
Well, before we do that.
Oh, we're going to jump to something else.
Let's cut out real quick and go to our first break a little earlier than expected.
Okay.
And try to get live here.
Okay.
And
that's a great idea.
Now it's just two guys talking, and I hate that. I want to get the people going.
Nobody knows what it means. Nobody knows what we're talking about.
When we come back, you'll be able to hear what Brock wanted to go into. And it's riveting, by the way.
It is.
So it's really great stuff. You'll really want to hang on and listen to that. If you're listening right now, you're listening to the podcast of the Tailgate. We're going to go ahead and try to get ourselves live. He's Brock Beal. My name's Hunter Hornstein.
Thanks for tuning in. Great to have you.
God save the queen. Hey, for those of you who are trying to listen to the Tailgate, we are here, and we were just working out some kinks here on our end as we were switching over from the live broadcast of the basketball game to our show now. So hold on real quick, and we'll come back with you in just a couple of minutes, about 30 seconds, 1 minute. He's Brock Beal. I'm Hunter Hornstein. This is the Tailgate. Hang with us. He's a horrible human being that shouldn't be in the league, is what I believe.
For one final season, live on Penguin Radio, this is the Tailgate.
But, I mean, look at me. Do I look like a cross-country runner to you? Playing against the top tier teams in the nation.
You sure it's not top?
Top.
Dude, I love Blake Griffin. I'm not a Clippers fan, but I love Blake Griffin.
The final season of The Tailgate with Brock Beal and Hunter Hornstein starts right now.
And here we go.
Hey there, live audience! How's it?
So wait, what you're telling me now is that there's people listening.
There are
real-life people actually listening to the show now.
Welcome.
What a concept.
Welcome to a brand new live edition of The Tailgate. He's Brock Beal. My name's Hunter Hornstein. It's 9:10, and we're kicking off our 9 p.m. show here. Earlier on, we had some audio issues, some connection issues because of the switchover from Collins Center here to the studios on the campus of Dominican University. And but you know, the savvy vets that we are, Brock Beal and I decided let's go ahead and keep recording.
Right.
So we have a whole section of recording that you guys didn't hear. So if you want to hear it, if you want to hear what it's like to just hear two guys talking to each other,
it's probably pretty entertaining. You know what it probably is? It's probably the best 10 minute segment we've ever done.
Exactly.
The show. It's probably what it is.
We had a phenomenal. Just
ground shattering
standing segment that none of you guys heard, and
but you can hear it.
You can hear it if you go to the podcast. So there's a little of incentive to listen to the show again. Welcome to the show. This is the Tailgate, the best damn tailgate that you've ever had. Sometimes we start at 9 o'clock, 9 to 10 every Thursday night.
We like to sleep in sometimes.
Hunter Hornstein, Brock Beal, and you haven't missed anything. If you're coming home from Conlin, thank you for tuning in. If you're at home trying to listen and wondering what those jabronis were doing, we figured it out. and we're happy that you are along for the ride for an hour's worth of sports talk, really. And it's just a couple of guys. I mean,
having a great time. We're just having a good time. Thank you for bearing with us through all that. One fan we want to give a special shout out to. We did this also in the podcast, but we're going to do it again because he's probably listening right now. Josh Smith and the Linfield Wildcats this Saturday at noon taking on the Pacific Lutheran Lutes in the first round of the Division III football NCAA playoffs. Actually, huge interleague and interconference rivals, PLU and Linfield. If you are in the Portland area this Saturday, check it out. It's going to be at the Linfield campus in McMinnville, Oregon at noon is kickoff. So check it out. First round of the Division III playoffs. Should be a great time. I know it's going to be a great game. Josh, go win a national championship for the boys in campus. Last shot. Somebody's got to do it. Better be you. So love you, bud. Thanks for always tuning in.
Smitty!
Hope you're listening to all the boys I said up there. I said hi, and I'll see you soon.
Smitty, I'm coming up there. I'm coming up to campus for a few days before New Year's, so get ready. I'm excited
and
to see you.
And you all know what that means. It's never a good thing. Ever. Never, ever a good thing.
1 hour sports talk here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. If you were listening to the basketball game, thank you for tuning into that. We've got basketball the rest of the way for you during the winter time, so get your fix of some sports action, some NC2A Division II sports action, and you'll love that. We want to just quickly shout out, and on the topic of sports and Dominican, this comes from PSAC, which is the Penguin Student Advisory Committee. Their Student Athlete Advisory Committee is holding a Mr. Penguin Male Beauty Pageant on February 22nd. So this is specifically for our Dominican listeners here. Any male student, now more specifically males, here at Dominican are invited to participate. There is a swimsuit, a school spirit, a talent, and a tuxedo competition for the pageant. Applications, if you are interested, are due at the end of January, January 31st. That's the last day of January. The more applications, the better. So pick up applications on the Facebook page or find out from a student athlete rep, a PSAC rep. Jack Beal is one of those representatives. He's a freshman lacrosse player, my co-host's younger brother, so seek him out.
Don't text him. He doesn't know anything.
It's going to be a very exciting event, so make sure you go to the Facebook page for more information or contact a PSAC member, and come on out. It's going to be a lot of fun.
You know they want us to host that, right? They asked us to host that. They asked Team Tailgate to host that. That is dangerous.
That's terrifying.
That's really dangerous. They're going to put us in front of a live audience?
A little bit. I'm more so than right now. I'm honored. Number one.
Well, I'm very honored.
I think we should first acknowledge how much this means that we have grown. I think we should be humbled by this opportunity. At the same time, however, that being said, are you kidding? You couldn't do anything better?
That's what I was thinking.
You really want to go this way? This is going to happen. We're going to let this happen.
They're actively seeking us out to do this. They couldn't think of anybody in the entire school to come do this, and they came to us. That's just lazy is what that is. That's just poorly thought out, not well planned. Whoever's in charge of PSAC has just got to be an airhead.
That is going to be a financial and cultural disaster.
Sports. All the time.
I mean,
around the clock.
Us. Team Tailgate. Hosting Mr. Penguin.
That. Oh, you don't want
that's
that at
gonna
all.
That's going to be a disaster.
That's not going to be good.
We might do it, though. We're essentially children, and you're going to give us mics. That being said, yes, we probably will do it.
We'll probably end up doing it. So if you want a really good laugh, not at the contestants, but at the people hosting the show, feel free to come out and check it out. It'll be a great time. Look it up.
When do we know if this is something that we...
I think whenever we say yes or no.
Oh, we haven't actually accepted the invitation.
Oh, no. Oh, no, no, no. We have to have a serious, in-depth conversation about this.
You don't
want to
do it live here on the show?
I mean, we could. I think you know what we should do? We should do a coin flip for it.
Why don't we give it up to our fans?
Well, we could do it to the fans. I think the fans have
our
back.
If you want us to host Mr. Penguin, Brock Beal, and Hunter Hornstein, if you want us to host this thing, hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/thetailgate, on Twitter, @thedutailgate, or just simply tell us, text us right now. We'll read your text on air and say, yes, we want you guys to do it. If you don't want us to do it, you can shut your mouths and stay home.
You just don't text us. We don't need all the negativity, okay? This is a no-judgment area.
I feel like it'd be kind of fun, though.
It could be fun. And you know what the best part is if I do the hosting, I don't have to be in it. which was...
And you're getting a lot of pressure to do that.
I'm getting a lot of pressure to do that. Well, it's not going to happen either way, but this would just give me another reason to get out of it. So that'd be great. It'd be great going into that. So, you know, we'll see. We'll figure it out.
We got until February 22nd, and of course, if you are interested, not hosting, but actually being in it, applications are due the end of January 31st, and make sure you check out the Facebook page. I'm sure it'll be all over social media if you're a Dominican student, or just find a PSAC member and talk to them. If you're interested, go ahead, and I don't think you necessarily have to be a student-athlete. Is that correct?
No, I believe there's a certain number of people from each team. It's like a percentage from each team that have to do it, and then it's opened up to all male students.
And then they throw in the wild
cards. Yes, okay. All male students.
Well, that'll be a lot of fun.
I think actually... I don't think a student athlete's won it for quite some time.
Oh my!
Kevin So maybe won it last year, but after that, I think it's been a while.
That's
no, I'm saying it's usually student athletes, and I think he was the first one since I've been here. So.
Well, it'll be a lot of fun. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we shall see. It'll be interesting.
Let's go ahead, and since we are, I mean, this is kind of a weird schedule because we started at 9:10 rather. Actually, started on time, but
we were here. Plenty. The computer decided to crash on us. It's not our fault.
Quick shout out to those couple of Penguin teams here at Dominican. Mad Love doing big things. I mean, we're talking best end to a season in the history of at least NC2A play. And that's since we've been here, which is 4 years now. And the best start ever in a basketball program. The first one we're talking about volleyball. They finished their season out, two consecutive wins, including the upset on Azusa Pacific on Senior Day, which was a week ago almost. It was Saturday, which would have been a week ago, Senior Day. They saluted Hannah Stocking, Jessica Jones, Kelsey Laudner. They end their career on top, and you talk about a young nucleus for that Lady Penguins team.
Yeah.
Amanda Wasco, who is that transfer sophomore from Utah, killing it with the kills, a terrible pun. Not intended, but, you know, you've got Sam Raines, who's going to be a senior at this point. You've got Sari Kwan coming back. You've got a lot of players, not including even the freshman that came in.
Mm-hmm. Maddie Powelson stepping in.
And Susanna Pilkerton. Huge dividends.
Powelson earned Freshman of the Week several times, I believe. So huge upbringing from the freshmen, young players coming in. Also, I want to shout out, this is recent. Three of our women's soccer players, Lauren Golnick, McKenna Kimball, and Kendra Korsberg, were all named the PacWest All-Conference team, I believe.
Big ups for them as
well. I believe two first teams were Kimball and Golnick, and then Korsberg was third team All-Conference. I mean, big things for the Lady
Penguins.
And
some more, again, younger players. Players that you're not necessarily going to see leave due to graduation. McKenna is a transfer coming in. Golnick is a sophomore now, so... Big things coming from our student athletes and our athletics program. And then you keep on with the accolades. The Dominican basketball team is 5-0 now.
Yeah, they're really fun to watch. We were just at the game. We had to jump over here real quick to be with you guys. But they're playing a heck of a game over in the Collins Center.
And quite handily.
Oh, quite handily, yes.
I mean, they won big. It wasn't one of those nail biters. It wasn't like the double overtime game that they went into a couple weeks back where they came back from, I think it was 10 to 14, maybe even 20 down, tying it, sending it to overtime, tying it again, sending it to double overtime, and then Miles Carrillo, who is a senior, but how about the season that he's on?
Yeah, he's already earned an MVP of a tournament. I believe the opening tournament of the year that was here, he earned MVPs for that. Another player earned MVPs at the next tournament. Another Dominican player earned the MVP awards for the following tournament that they played in the next weekend, I believe, which was a road tournament. You know, just a great start. great start. But it'll be interesting to see how they do on the road. We've seen them play in Hawaii against many of the Hawaiian teams. We did that road trip last year. Not with the team, but we watched them play while we were in Honolulu. And, you know, it's just a different vibe when you go on the road. And so they've had a pretty nice stretch being at home for most of their first few games. And the road games were really, like, in the local area. So not a crazy amount of travel. So it'll be very interesting to see if they can keep this hot streak going when they start taking those big, long road trips. But, you know, again, kind of on the flip side of the teams that we just talked about with volleyball and soccer, they have more of a senior core. They have a couple older guys.
You're right. Absolutely.
They have some of the older
players.
And I think
that pays dividends. I mean, you're looking at guys like Connor Hayes or Miles Carrillo that are – they've been there. You know, they've gone through the growing pains, almost like the volleyball team a little bit. I mean, that was Gail Stammer's first team. coming in. And, you know, they're starting to see the benefits being reaped. I mean, we're looking at let me get this score up for you that they won today. 93-59 against Pacifica College.
There you go.
You know, that's a good score. That's I don't care who you're playing, but you're doing well. And yeah. I mean, 5-0, the best start in Dominican men's basketball history. You got to feel happy about it. And I think and let's say yes, it's early.
It is.
But you can still get up for one of these starts. This is something we haven't seen in a long time.
It is. And I think we talked about this, and I'm not going to sugarcoat it. They went through the same growing pains that a lot of the programs here went through the first couple of years as an NCAA institution. You know, tougher competition. You have players transferring from NAIA to here. They have a lot of transfers that came in from junior colleges and other schools. So it just took a little bit longer for them, their chemistry to mesh. But, you know, once they've kind of come together as a unit in just these first five games, you can really see them starting to click a little bit more.
Right, absolutely.
And I think that is where the rest of Dominican sports are heading. You see that. We've kind of seen that with the volleyball team, just not quite clicking. You know, chemistry's not there. Same thing with soccer teams. Just that little bit extra. And I think basketball has kind of been the first team that we've seen this season or this year.
To reach that point.
Yeah, to really take that next step. And say, okay, now we're here. We're a legitimate D2 team, legitimate D2 program, and we're here to contend. And that's a great thing for Dominican athletics all around because it draws a little attention, you know, lets people come out to the games. There's a huge student section there tonight, and it's a Thursday night.
Yeah.
You know, people have class tomorrow morning or work or what have you, and there's a huge turnout for that. So
that
was great.
I think it gives something that these student athletes can be proud of and these athletes these students to be proud of. I mean, No, of course, no one wants to lose. No one likes that. But to be proud of something, to go to a sporting event, have a good time, and not only have a good time, but see your team do well, you know, that speaks a lot. I mean, a lot of them are going to go see your friends, your roommates, your hallmates, and whatnot. And it's great when you see them do well as a team, as individuals, and as a program because you know. And I think maybe it has to do a little bit with the older students, you and I, seniors, maybe some juniors, even students that just graduated last year, see how it's starting to grow and how things are starting to turn around. Slowly but surely they are, because we saw it when, volleyball, 3-and-out,
yeah,
soccer,
1 or 2,
2-0,
wins.
You know, yeah. Exactly, basketball, blowouts, we saw that. It was rough. It was tough. I mean, you're having fun because you're at the sporting event, but no one likes to lose.
Yeah, and it really made the diehard fans not turn out. I mean, it was pretty much for a long time, it would be the two of us and a handful of other student athletes, and that was it. For all the games, it would be 10 or 12 people, all student athletes or close friends of student athletes, and that was it. There was no, you know, regular students, you know, just coming down from the dorms, coming down from Meadowlands or what have you to check out the game. It was, you know, it was strictly student athletes supporting student athletes, and I think that's really going to help as a current student athlete, it really helps when you have your whole school behind you. And I think it's cool. It's one of the things that makes Dominican unique is that you can go down to the game and see somebody throw down a crazy slam dunk. And then, you know, the next week you walk into class and he's sitting right next to you.
Your
lab partners or whatever. And it's just something that not everybody at a big school gets. And it's great that it's really starting to take off here at Dominican. So it's a great thing to see.
No, it's really
congratulations
good.
Congratulations to the men's basketball team.
A big shout-outs all around. I mean, you're talking soccer, basketball, and volleyball. It's been a long time coming since you've been able to really just hand out the accolades like that. And it's great to see. When we come back, we're going to dip into a little bit of a Deadspin fun bag. If you know what Deadspin is, it's our favorite website. We've got a couple of topics here and there that we'll throw out. And if we go down a rabbit hole and talk about them, we will. So you won't want to miss that. We've got a couple of different things to do. I mean, you're looking at guys making faux pas as far as saying stuff in the press. You've got
It's never a dull moment in sports.
It's not always a positive thing, but we do not.
We have a good time with it.
Yeah, absolutely. So hang out with us here. Brock Beal, Hunter Hornstein. This is The Tailgate.
Waiting for a ride at all.
Alrighty. Brock Beal, Hunter Hornstein, the best damn tailgate you're ever going to have. This is the tailgate live on Penguin Radio, and we're going to dip into that Deadspin fun bag a little bit, and I want to talk about Rob Gronkowski. I feel like we haven't talked about him enough on this show.
The summer of Gronk, and now kind of the fall was like a break for him because he didn't really get to play, but now he's back.
Do you notice
that like his great athletic plays directly correlate with how stupid he sounds? He'll have an incredible game, like 3 touchdowns, whatever, 250 yards receiving, some ungodly number for a tight end. I just completely made those up, by the way. Those aren't actual numbers, I don't think. And then he'll go off and say some stupid, stupid thing to somebody with a microphone or a recorder. They literally should put him in a separate locker room and not let him speak to anybody.
Yo soy fiesta, correct?
Yeah, I mean, people. And then he had the thing with the Asian fan a couple weeks ago where he was making fun of a fan.
That just sounds all bad.
Did you not hear that? It was horrible. He was making fun of this guy that won tickets to like come up and do this big fundraiser with the Pats. And he was an Asian guy, and Gronkowski was ripping him in front of like a couple hundred people for this fundraiser. First of all, why is Gronkowski the one on stage? Okay. No, that's horrible idea. Horrible idea. Second of all, just a horrible idea. I can't illustrate that enough. It's just not something that needs to happen. He does not need to have a microphone near his face at all.
He went on to a radio show. I think it was called W Fan or something like that. It was talking to a guy named Zalek or something like that. Anyway, they asked him what kind of superpower that he would like.
Normal
people know what a superpower is, but let's go ahead. This is what Gronk had to say.
Superpower B.
Man, this is like a time machine.
Being invisible.
Is this time machine count?
Yeah, let's do it. We can build a time machine right here.
If I could just be like, I want to be in Florida right now, and then boom, I'm in Florida.
That'd be more like a transporter. Like,
yeah, is that a superpower?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, how okay?
Okay, several things with that.
That's...
Okay, time travel is a superpower, but you can't say you want to have time travel. You want to have the ability to time travel?
Time travel is a superpower. I think that's probably
one of the coolest superpowers you could have.
Okay, the ability to
time... If you could just jump back and forth in time.
Right, but he's not jumping back and forth in time. He's jumping back and forth through states, which are what planes are for.
That's the second part, is that he doesn't know what time travel even means. Maybe teleport.
Oh, man.
You want to be able to teleport. That's a thing. That's a superpower.
How great is it that that host just baits him? Just keep on going. Keep on going.
Yeah, we can do that. What else do you want? Oh, hook, line, sinker. I mean, come on. That's like having Ben Ludeman on the show. It's just too easy. It's not even fair for him. The poor guy. He doesn't even know what's going on half the time.
The Deadspin article's title. I tweeted this out. I think it title wins alone. It says, Rob Gronkowski thinks planes and cars are time machines. And really, that title's not too far off.
He was pretty close. I mean, yeah, that's just horrible. He went to University of Arizona.
Let's be honest, he went to college.
He was enrolled in the university.
Yeah,
that says something right there.
You're absolutely
Hello.
Right. You're absolutely right.
I mean, come on. I feel like a monkey could have taken a better SAT score than he did probably. But he's making millions. So who cares? Who cares? He can do whatever he wants.
Speaking of millions, and now it's not necessarily millions, but you saw what happened with the Thunder. The Thunder are just giving out money like...
They're making it rain.
Like they're printing it right
they're
now.
They're making it rain like their fans are making it rain.
For the second consecutive time in 1 week, a fan hit their half-court shot to get...
That's
$20,000.
You know what that reminds me of? Is Semi-pro. Semi-pro
yeah.
with the $1 million check, and he hits it, and he's just, no, no,
yeah,
no!
Exactly, like, yeah.
I don't have
$1 million. We don't have $1 million to give them.
No, he's never made it before. Yeah, that's what it reminds me of. And if you actually see the owners of the Thunder in the video, and their like hands are like, or their head is like buried in their hands. Like, I can't believe we just gave away $40,000 in a week for nothing.
It's kind of like this was a viral video a long time ago, maybe a couple of years ago. It was some high school that they blindfolded their teacher and said, "Hey, you'd get something." I don't know what it was. Let's just say it was a couple of round
tickets. I think it was tickets
to something. Yeah, and they didn't actually have the tickets because who's gonna make a half court shot? Their principal? No. And he makes it, and he's blindfolded, and everyone's kind of, they didn't know whether to cheer or they...
Well, all the kids were going crazy because they thought exactly, it was
real. Exactly, and they go, oh no, what do we do here? It's kind of like that. I love when that stuff happens, but...
It just backfires so hard on everybody else. It's great.
It's Thursday. The first one happened Monday, so this happens within a span of a couple of days here.
3 days.
The first one makes it. He gets it, and that one kind of rattled in and then went... This the next guy, he banked it in.
Hey, bank's open, baby.
What was even cooler, nice pun there, by the way. Hey. What was even cooler, Jay-Z was at the game.
Of course he was. Why wouldn't he be?
Gave him props.
They're handing out money. Of course Jay-Z's there.
He's going down the sidelines, giving high fives, and Jay-Z's like, hey, man, hey, I see you.
He gave an extra little love tap to Jay-Z. Of course he. Why wouldn't you? If I just hit a $20,000 shot.
That's worth $20,000. That might not even be worth $20,000.
I'd go right past Jay-Z and give Beyonce a kiss and just be like, hey. Call you later.
I got $20,000. $20,000. Jay-Z's going, my wallet costs $20,000.
My left shoe costs $20,000. So we're good. We're even.
Do you think the Thunder keep doing this thing?
No. God, no.
I think it's time to kind of
They're going to do the, they'll move on to the layup, free throw, 3-point, and then half court to make it 20.
Why because not? That's why can't so much you? Why don't you just don't do anything anymore? Why don't you just
because
do?
Because it's basketball. We do it at Dominican here. We're
not giving out $20,000.
Well, that's right. We're not giving out $20,000, but we give out hats and shirts. It's just part of the experience.
Give out a hat and a shirt. The Thunder can give out some hats and shirts.
What you could do is have it be a kid, because nothing's better than watching a kid do something. And if they make it, it's that much better. But if they miss,
what the hell is a kid gonna do with $20,000?
I don't even know what I would do with $20,000.
Can you imagine they get like a 10-year-old? No, obviously no one thinks he's going to make it. And he just, nothing but net, just wet.
Drains it, gets the full like half-court running shot.
Holds it up.
Does the chest pass to the basket.
Oh.
Be perfect. Hey, see, that's just PR
hey,
goal.
Hey, Thunder, do it. Come on now, do it.
Do it. You won't.
What else we got in this fun bag here?
There's a lot.
How about Jimmy Graham?
Breaking the goalpost.
He broke a goalpost.
I want to know how they got. Did it show how they got it back to normal? I know they use like a leveler, like you would use for like picture frames or whatever.
I'm sure they got a bunch of their, you know, the Saints or the Falcons got a bunch of their interns grabbed onto it and pulling it down there.
Just two guys
know?
Try to like get a ladder and hang onto it and try to like jerk it back down. That's just like freakish. And he did it intentionally too. You could tell he did it.
44-yard touchdown. You better do something cool.
Well, he went up for the dunk, like a signature move, boom, slam dunk. But then his left hand came up and he jerked that thing hard, like intentionally hard.
Oh, he went two hands, absolutely,
for that. He brought the Thunder down. And you know,
gotta love Jimmy Graham.
Oh yeah, they just had another story on Deadspin about him. He's the most effective tight end in the NFL right now. I mean, he went from being a college basketball player to come in. Very similar to plays for the Chargers, Antonio Gates, right? I mean, just freak athletes that
great
come in and play
story.
A sport.
Great story as well.
Yeah.
Tough I mean, upbringing. And
it doesn't really hurt that he's having Drew Brees throw him touchdown passes.
Not at like, all. This picture, like though, is great of the goalpost.
Oh, yeah. It's at a 45.
Yeah, that's not... I mean,
it's not a slight
you're
bend.
Not going to be shanking it wide left, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's bent. That's actually the second goalpost that's fallen victim to that similar situation. I believe in Chicago, the wind was so heavy this week that it blew the goalpost over like that, too. And they had to, while they were pausing the game because of the tornado warnings in the Chicago area, had to have people come out with like big like fire hose almost looking things. And they had like eight guys and tried to pull it back down, but it just kept going back over because the wind was so strong.
You think
not a good week to be a.
You think the NFL does something about that and say you can't do the dunks anymore? Because if they do, I just want to. That's awful. Now Jimmy Graham breaks the thing, and now everyone can't play.
That's like the same thing as saying no slam dunks in basketball if you broke a rim off. And
exactly.
That used to happen all the time.
But
this
I'm
is like
just,
a once
I'm
in
just,
a lifetime
I'm just
thing.
Saying, in the world we live in now, one thing happens, and one bad apple, whether it's intentional or not, and everyone's up in arms.
I want to see if we start seeing this more often. If guys got to go like reverse slam and like give it a little extra shimmy on the way down.
Instead of the bounties now trying to take out a player hail.
His goalpost.
I'll write a check if you take out their goalpost now.
Yeah. I mean, that'd be great. It's the same thing in college when people like tear down their goalpost after the game. I mean, that escalated rather quickly.
That.
Oh, that's the best. That's the best part about an upset. When they rush the field and they have to make a fat ring around the field goal post with huge beefy security guards just because they know everybody's going for it.
Love
it. They get like 30 people up there and then 8 of them like break a leg or whatever because they all fall on each other. It's great stuff. It's great sports.
No, I absolutely love it. And whenever we can talk about something great like that.
It's a gem is what it is. That's a top 10 play right there. If that's not in the top 10, I don't know why we're watching SportsCenter anymore. If that's not a top 10 play, turn it off. Just turn it off.
I think I would be upset if they put it on the not top 10.
Oh, it could be number one for both, depending on how you want to look at it.
Have they ever had a duel, besides the butt fumble, do you think they've ever had like a duel something or something so significant that they've had to just stay with it?
I'm sure they have at some point, but I mean, the butt fumble would probably be the closest to a not top 10, also being in the top 10 for the defensive player. But I can't think of anything that would compare to that. I mean, that's just legendary.
It's pretty
good. Javion Clowney's not in the not top 10 for anything. I mean,
maybe for
sucking, but yeah, you know, hey.
Getting winded in that second half.
And if you're listening,
half.
Clowney, I didn't mean that. I love you.
Yes, he's listening to the tailgate. Yeah.
You never know, man. Radio's powerful.
You don't know. No, it is. Absolutely. You're right. I apologize.
Yeah.
When we come back, Brock's got a couple of topics he wants to get off his chest. We'll find out what those are.
Right after this.
So tune in. Or keep tuning in.
And listen to the podcast if you're tuned in late.
Oh, seriously, though, because you missed
a gemmer. You missed some magical moments on the tailgate here. So please, keep listening. We'll be right back. You stay classy.
Man, we're struggling today.
You stay classy, Tailgate Nation.
Oh, Brock Beal, Hunter Hornstein. Why am I still talking? Go to a break, Hornstein. Let's go. Man.
Oh, welcome back to the show. This is the tailgate, the best damn tailgate you're ever going to have. Brock Beal, Hunter Hornstein, every Thursday night, 9 to 10.
So we're just talking, and I think we did think of something that could be a not top 10 as well as a top 10. And that would be this show tonight. Could potentially be the greatest horrible show we've ever done. But you know what? We're having a great time. You're over there laughing.
I like that word.
Giggling,
actually.
Laughing. I don't know. It's whatever. That's what I'm talking about right there.
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
That is my point.
Yeah.
You found something, I believe, on Twitter that you wanted to share.
Well, Jimmy Graham. We were talking about Jimmy Graham before we went to the break. We were talking about how he, you know, ruined the goalposts and whatnot. He tweeted out that picture that I showed you here live in studio and said, oops.
Whoopsie. That's my bad, guys. I'm sorry.
I think that's
great.
That's
like the equivalent of the Sandlot hitting the ball over the fence. Now we can't play ball no more.
I'll get it, guys. I'll get it. My bad.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's the equivalent, Jimmy Graham. But congratulations. Hats off to you.
He's awesome.
That's fantastic.
You gotta love
him. You keep doing that all you want, man. You pay those fines if they come.
Love him. If you're not following the show on our social medias, go do it. Facebook.com/thetailgate. Twitter, @TheDoYouTailgate.
We're very interactive with the fans. We love it.
You talk to us, we talk to you, man.
Tailgate Nation, get out there and support.
Use that hashtag TeamTailgate.
There you go. That's all you got to do. So we were talking before the show, and we've been trying to get into this for a little while, but it's kind of finally coming into the end of a season for us, and that is college football. As sad as it is to say, it's winding down. And just like every other year, it seems like, we have 4 to 5 teams, and guess how many teams make the national championship? One team goes to the national championship. Good. That's good math. You're a comm major for a reason. All right. No, two teams make it, and there's always those 2 to 3 teams that seem to get left out in the cold. And most of the time, they have equal or better records even than the teams that make the national championship.
You're right.
Earlier, we mentioned Linfield College going to the Division III national tournament, or whatever if you will, championships. How excited are you, and what effect do you think it'll have on the sport for D1 football to finally transfer over? Because D1 football has really been its own thing. They're the only sport that doesn't do a tournament up until, I think, 2015. They're the only sport that hasn't done a tournament.
This is
they
the
have
last,
their own
this
bowl.
Is the last year yeah, of just the last season. Of, yeah. Hey, we're going to pick whoever's going to play Bama and whatever.
Yeah. I'm excited for the playoff system. But the only problem I have with that is that it gives Oregon more opportunities to get into the national championship discussion, which I don't like.
They got to win out, though. That's the
thing.
They
do have
to win
out.
You do have to win out, and I think no matter, it's not a perfect system. Let's just start with that. And
well, it's never going to be perfect.
Exactly. It's never going to be perfect. You're going to have the number 5 or 6 team go, hey, what about us? Well, if we start opening what are we going to do? Are we going to do it like they do in college basketball?
64?
And have
no.
Every single buddy, every single person, player, whatnot. I think I read an article way back in the day, a couple years ago, where they said that had they actually done that, they could strategically schedule it to where you'd have a game all the way up until a Super Bowl. No chance.
Well, it wouldn't be. It would be horrible football. It'd be like the Thursday night game that we talked about, which was also horrible again tonight.
Stop Thursday night football.
Stop it. Stop it, NFL.
Enough. It's awful.
But you'd have kids getting hurt. Star players would be going down to the second round of the playoffs, and they still got 4 more games until they even get to the national championship. So by the time the national championship comes around, it'd be whoever could limp in with the best roster, essentially.
What they have going right now is kind of the best way to give it both ways. You know what I mean? It's the best way, what they can think of, without being overly ridiculous or, you know, making a mockery of the system.
Yeah. And one other thing that I am kind of bummed out about, I think the playoff system is great, and I think it's needed just because it's a little bit more fair to the other teams, and it gives us the best representative of an actual national championship. The bowl games are just going to be stupid. All those little bowl games, like, even though little bowl games don't mean anything.
I mean, they're not
like,
going to mean anything other than to the schools, which, at the end of the day, those bowl games, right, it's money, but it's for the schools. It's not necessarily for us. No, I mean, I don't think networks, specifically ESPN, because they're the ones that show them, I don't think that they're thinking, yeah, they're going to get some money out of it, but I don't think they go into their war rooms when they decide about the production of them and say, yes, people want to see what the Monarchy Car Bowl holds. People want to see the Emerald Bowl.
People want to see the Kraft Hunger Bowl. People want to see the Little Caesars Bowl. People care about this. No one cares about it unless it's their school, you know? Yeah. And it's their school. It's for them. You know, the players get to be excited about it. There's some schools out there that don't go to bowl games, and for them to be in the Little Caesars Bowl is a big deal.
Yeah, but I just think it diminishes that a little bit, because now you're going to have, let's say Stanford and Ohio State are 1 and 2 next year. I don't know. I'm throwing out. Okay.
They won't be, because Bama will be number one.
Pac-12 and Big Ten, Big Ten and Pac-12 champions. Who goes to the Rose Bowl? Who goes to the Rose Bowl?
Yeah.
And who cares about the Rose Bowl? Because what is the Rose Bowl? The Rose Bowl is the best teams from the Pac-12 and the Big Ten every single year, right? Who cares? If it's not the two best teams and they're not in it now, then what's the point? You know what I'm saying? It takes a little bit of the history away.
Right,
but
it does.
But it's also replacing it with something else.
Exactly, I know. And I'm glad you brought up that word replace, because that history was built on the fact that it's one and done bowls. You know, you play for this bowl. You go to try to play this bowl. If you don't think you're going to make it to the national championship, well, be the best team in the Pac-12, and you're going to the Rose Bowl. You know, that's, I think, what that thinking was.
Yeah.
We're entering a new era. It's going to be there's transition for that, and you're right. It is, you're taking something old, you're replacing it with new, and frankly, I don't, as a Pac-12 fan, you're a Pac-12 fan too. You like the Huskies. I like the Trojans. I'm not necessarily, if the Trojans are in the Rose Bowl, that's one thing. But if it's the best team in the Pac-12 and it's not my team, yeah, I'm interested, but I'd rather look at that Natty. I like the I want to see the national championship. And if a playoff system to strictly determine, and I put this in quotes, who the best team is, again, you're taking only four teams, so who really knows that there's going to be teams that are left out in the cold that could potentially win. I'd rather see that. You know, if I'm as big a Bama supporter as there. I jumped on that bandwagon a couple of years ago. I like Bama. I like Nick Saban. I'm a fan of that. But I'd also like to see them win out and really
have to play
cement,
two of the other four teams back to back.
Yeah, exactly. Cement their legacy, so to speak. Cement that and say, yes, there is no doubt we are the best team in college football.
Yeah, I agree with that. The one thing, again, that bugs me is, so what if, you know, Huskies and USC play for the Pac-12 championship? That game's essentially, if like they're 1 and 2 or whatever, they're, you know, they're up there, they're top five teams.
Where are they ranked in the grand scheme of the polls?
Say they're top five, six teams. Okay. One team could lose and still go to the Rose Bowl. Essentially,
right.
But that doesn't mean anything now. The Rose Bowl is pointless at this point. Besides, obviously, you just stated the USC fans, but really, that means the Pac-12 Conference Championship means nothing.
Except for
the one team that wins. I mean, it essentially means nothing.
But don't those conference games essentially, I don't want to say essentially mean nothing, but essentially mean nothing kind of right now? I mean,
yeah,
you kind of look at some of those, and I think what broadcaster was it that said, oh, the winner of what was it? Duke and was it something? I forgot what it was. But
Duke Miami
said, "Oh, the winner of this gets to be the sacrificial lamb." For I mean, they've already written off a lot of these conferences because you find that one superpower in there or two, like in the Pac-12. I mean, you obviously Oregon. You look at UCLA's on the uprise a little bit. Stanford is still good. I mean, there's these teams in the SEC. Who gives a damn about that? Because we all know Bama's going to the national championship game. Aren't they a little not so much what everyone thinks they are?
Yeah, and I think that it actually kind of takes away. People talk about it all the time. Let me state it this way: 164 games in baseball, right?
Right.
You lose what 60?
162, but
okay, whatever. 162. Well, play-in games sometimes there's more.
You're right.
You lose 60 games. You're at 100. You're going to the playoffs. Am I wrong? You're pretty much in.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay?
College football, 14-game schedule, 15-game schedule. You lose one or two of those right now in this system today, this year for the last time, you're essentially gone. Oregon lost one game and they're out.
To me, that
Stanford lost
it,
two games and they're out.
To me, that makes it even better, though.
Well, next year you could have four the top four teams all lose, but still go to the playoffs.
You're not okay with rewarding the fact that you're losing.
Yeah, you kind of take away the importance of each game because
kind of like the NFL.
Yeah, exactly.
Where you can go 0-2 to start off your season,
and you're fine,
and you can recover from that. Whereas in college football, you're done.
Yeah, you're instantly done. If you start out the season 0-2, your season's essentially over before it even started.
Right.
Because there's no way you're getting back into the top four. But now say next year, Bama's number one again. They lose their first game or they lose a game late in the season and they drop to four. Who cares? They're still in the national championship.
Well, you see that.
They're still in the
playoffs. You see that now. I mean, you saw that last year. Bama lost in the middle of the season. And because of a couple of other teams. And again, this is a lot of it is because of the structure we have. You know, other teams have to choke and lose and slip up for the teams that slipped up earlier to have a chance. Okay, I'm admitting that. But you saw the same thing almost, kind of, sort of, the fact that you lose, you're able to recover. But that has to do with the fact, what you mentioned, that necessity to win. That, and that's what makes college football so great, is that it's crazy. I mean, you're going in the last couple of weeks, and it's upset city.
Yeah, and it really is all timing. When you lose, I mean, Stanford lost to Utah the week before they played Oregon, and then beat Oregon, and it was like, okay, boom, number four, boom.
And they're fine.
But they had just lost, and right. and Oregon drops all the way to 7 or 8, which I have no problem with. Don't get me wrong there, but it's all about timing. If Alabama lost this week, knock on wood that they won't. I mean, come on, let's go Roll Tide. But knock on wood that they lose this week, they probably drop out of the top 5 or 6. Just because it's so late in the season and there's other teams. You have Ohio State, Baylor, you know, Florida State. You have Oregon still in the mix at this point. You have other teams that are pushing for those top 4 or 5 spots. If you lose and you're one of those top seeds right now, you're out.
Right.
Next year, you could hypothetically still stay in if you lose this late in the game because they just say, okay, well, they lost, but they're still one of the 4 best teams.
You could also be one of the 4 best teams and go in. You could be number one and lose in the first round of the, quote, playoffs.
To the fourth seeded team.
And be bounced.
Exactly.
I mean, I think it's still, there creates that drama where, yeah, okay, hypothetically, let's say your top 4 teams are Alabama. Let's give FSU number 2.
Let's go this year.
Let's go ahead and go Ohio State number 3. And who's your number 4 team?
Baylor.
Okay, so it would be Bama, Baylor going, and FSU and Ohio State. You could still go into that playoff saying, Bama's on upset alert, because they can win or they could lose and they get bounced. Okay,
yep.
They're out. And then you got number 4, Baylor, finding out who's going to win. Let's just say it's Ohio State or FSU. So you've got number 2 and number 4 going. Two teams that should have probably not lost, you know, or one team that shouldn't have lost in Bama, but you've still got that as if it would be late in the season losses. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Like, you've still got those losses that would have happened late in the season if you're still going with BCS Bowl projections in that system.
Right. No, that makes sense to me. I mean, it's going to be different, and it's going to take a little bit of getting used to. I do like the 4-team playoff. I think it could be 8 eventually, but I don't think it's going to go ever higher than 8. I mean, that would just be too crazy. It'll be interesting to see in a couple of years when teams are going to start front-loading their schedules. So, Alabama will play most of their tough games, you know, early to mid in the season, and then kind of coast into the end of the season so they can start resting A.J. McCarron's and T.J. Yeldon's and players like that. So
you're
going
to see a little more strategy going
into.
Kind
of like basketball does, where they start sitting their starters for the second half of this, or, you know, the last week or two of the season. Kind of like the NFL does now, where a couple years ago when the Colts were going for a perfect record, and they were like, how important is that? Like, who cares?
Who cares about the perfect record? We want that ring. Absolutely.
Yeah, so they sat Peyton Manning in half their offense, and they end up losing, like, the last 3 games. It doesn't matter because they already clinched their division. It's the same idea. I mean, I think you're going to see a lot more of that happening, where people are going to start, you know, play the first quarter, take a seat, you're done, we're up by 40, like, who cares, sit down, you know. And not that that doesn't happen now, but I think it's gonna become a lot more prevalent in the near future. Question, I want to see your response to this, and I think I know what you're gonna say. I think it's pretty much a no-brainer. Next year, for the first ever playoff national championship for D1 football, higher TV rating, that or the Super Bowl?
Let's do
all of the playoff games
combined,
like that whole series over the Super Bowl.
I just think it's so tough to beat the NFL right
now. It is very tough.
I think it's tough. But that intrigue, I mean, everybody wants it, right? I mean, yeah, we're generalizing here, but everybody whines and moans and complains at the end of the year. We want a playoff system. We want a playoff system.
Every year.
Here's your playoff system, folks. You know, and then, of course, I think the intrigue is huge. I think there's going to be a lot of curiosity. I think there's going to be a lot of curiosity for people that even outside the sport.
Mm-hmm.
But I just...
Because it's a historic moment. It is historic.
Right. Combined,
I think it gets close.
I think combined, it gives it a run for its money.
You're talking about three games.
Compared to one, but that one game
is so huge.
Is an event. It's a weekend. The NFL, I mean, I don't care what you throw up there. The NFL, those ratings that they bring in.
Even for Thursday night when games are horrible.
It's unbelievable, and they're such a superpower. I'd like to think college football would do. I like college football more than the NFL.
We're both on the same page about that, yeah.
And a lot of it is the fact that it's that necessity to win and that frustration you get towards the end of the year that we might see diminish now with the playoff system. But I got to go Super Bowl ratings probably higher.
Yeah. I mean, I think it'd be close, but I think you're right. I think it'd be really close to see. How important, before we're almost out of time here, how important is it for this playoff system that next year is craziness for those four teams? I want to see triple, quadruple overtime. I want to see Hail Marys to win the game. I don't want to see 9-6 games like the LSU-Alabama game a couple years ago for the SEC championship. I don't want to see that. I want to see nail-biting, down-to-the-wire finish. If it's the four best teams, they better put on a show, or else everybody's going to be like, well,
You know what? I'm with you, but I'm scared that you're not... I don't think by adding a playoff system, teams that are, I mean, you put LSU and Alabama in a playoff system, they're still going to play SEC defense and you're going to see 90.
Yeah.
I don't think that just because you change the format up, I mean, it's not like you're saying, oh, now it's all one and done. Well, it's one and done in bowl games. It's one and done in the national championship.
Yeah, it's one and done anytime. Yeah.
You know, these teams, it's not like they're satisfied. Oh, we made it into the playoff system. We're set. No, they want to play for the national championship. It's a nice theory. I just don't think that you put a playoff structure in there and all of a sudden teams forget how to play defense.
I'm not saying forget how to play defense. I'm just thinking in my mind.
I want March Madness. You want back-to-back games of just
unbelievable triple overtime.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
I want this number, 15 knocking off a 2. You're not going to get that because there's only four teams, obviously, but I want that nail-biting, God, just that,
I think there's too little teams to do that right now.
Yeah.
There's only four. If you had eight, if you had six, I think you would see that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
We're out of time here. It's 10 o'clock. Good discussions here on the tailgate, and thanks for hanging with us if you were tuned in. Brock, another show in the books, and this one we're taking a week off now for Turkey Day.
Happy Turkey Day.
Yeah, I think.
Favorite holiday of the year. Don't overlook Turkey Day, by the way, please. Turkey Day becomes before Christmas, everybody. All right? Respect it. It's important.
I want to piggyback that. I saw Diego Pruitt put something on Facebook saying, is it bad that I want to put my Christmas tree up already? That was about a week ago, even a couple of days ago. Diego, have some respect, man.
Go get an inflatable turkey. Get some mashed potatoes. Get some sweet potatoes, for God's sake.
Oh.
Melt some marshmallows on those bad boys and have yourself a feast and watch some football. Gosh darn it.
Brock, have yourself a great Thanksgiving. I'm going to miss you next week, but...
I'll be in the cold. You'll be in the sun.
We'll be fine. I'll take a picture of myself at the beach and...
Good. That's great.
We'll have some fun. Say hello to the family. Have a great Thanksgiving, everybody. And we'll hear you in a couple weeks. We'll hear you in December.
Go Linfield.
Yeah, Josh Schmitty. Go give him a hell, man. For Brock Beal, my name's Hunter Hornstein. You're listening to the best damn tailgate that you've ever had. The tailgate every Thursday night, 9 to 10 here on Penguin Radio. Radio.Dominican.edu. Next week is a break. We will hear you in December. Thanks a lot, tailgaters. Have a great night and a great weekend. So long.